The student organization of UW-Stevens Point denied the conservative group Turning Point USA the recognition as an official campus organization earlier this month on grounds it would make other student organizations and other constituents feel unsafe. But fast forward to Friday when the Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs reversed that decision and announced that Turning Point USA meets the requirements to be recognized as a student organization. WPR's Glenn Moberg has been reporting on this. He's based in Wausau. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Well, first of all, tell us briefly about Turning Point USA. Who are they? What do they stand for?
Well, Turning Point USA is a conservative organization. They're aimed at young people and college students. They were founded back in 2012 by Charlie Kirk, a young man from Illinois. At the time he founded them, he was just 18 years old. And he saw the need to push conservative values on college campuses, which he thought were too liberal. They bill themselves as advocates of free market principles and limited government. Their slogan is "Big Government Sucks." They're a 501c3 organization, and they're supported by some pretty powerful people in the conservative movement. And in the few years since they were founded, they now have recognized chapters at over 350 college and high school campuses. But there's been some pushback also. Student governments at Drake University in Des Moines and also Santa Clara University, that's a Jesuit school in Northern California, voted not to recognize Turning Point USA chapters there. And the latest pushback, of course, came at UW-Stevens Point, where on November 9th, the Student Government Association rejected official recognition for the organization. And as you said, just Friday, the school's administration and specifically its Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Al Thompson, reversed that decision and granted them official recognition. Thompson said he did it to ensure a diversity of views on campus.
Let's hear a little bit more from the Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Al Thompson. As Glenn mentioned, university administrators announced that the school will allow Turning Point USA to be recognized as a sanctioned group. Let's take a listen.
As the institution that definitely values diversity and the freedom to explore all ideas, even unpopular ones, we have to remain committed to a learning environment that respects multiple viewpoints and ensure this discourse that is civil and that keeping our campus safe for all. One of the reasons I overturned it was because I want to recognize every person's voice. We are a learning environment, and if a university cannot have this dialogue, where can you have it?
So Glenn, what should we take away here from Thompson's, what he said about overturning this?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. He said he wants multiple viewpoints on campus. Diversity doesn't just mean supporting marginalized groups or minority groups. They also need to support a variety of political viewpoints. And he said Turning Point USA met all the requirements for a student organization.
Why did the Student Government Association reject Turning Point's application from the get-go for official recognition?
Well, that happened again last Thursday. That's November 9th, and it was a three-hour meeting, so quite a few students got up to speak in opposition to the organization. They argued that some members of Turning Point USA on other campuses have staged events which encouraged hate speech toward minority groups. They also complained about memes and posts on social media, which they said demean minorities.
So what's been the reaction on campus since this news came out on Friday?
I think it's kind of a wait-and-see attitude. The conservative students on campus are of course, quite happy. Students who are connected with some of these minority groups and marginalized groups and other students which have their interests at heart are not happy with the decision.
The Student Senate's initial decision, as you mentioned, followed this three-hour-long debate in which a number of students spoke against allowing Turning Point its status. One of them was Lynn Churro, a transgender student who leads the Women's Resource Center on campus. And Churro is worried about their possible impact on the campus climate?
Yes, he is.
Let's take a listen.
It would be a disservice to students to take them at face value, saying that they would stick just to what their constitution says, which is fiscal responsibility, free speech, academic freedom, when time and time again, at the national level and at different universities, they've done events that are specifically focusing on different marginalized groups, discriminating against them, harassing them.
So will this be the case at UW-Stevens Point?
Well, it's hard to say. Lynn Chiro, of course, is quite concerned about it. You can assume that, again, other students on the campus who complained about Turning Point are also concerned. Chiro said he felt that if speakers like Milo Yiannopoulos, who is somebody that Turning Point, the chapter at UW-Milwaukee, invited to that campus, he said that if speakers like that were invited to the campus, minority students would no longer feel safe there and might even drop out. And one of the other things that the National Turning Point USA organization has been criticized for is its professor watch list.
Mm.
This is a list of professors around the country that its members think lean to the left or push a liberal message in the classroom. So critics say that once a professor is put on that list, they can become the targets of abuse on social media. And we have at least two professors. Louis Fernandez, he's at Northern Arizona University. He's a criminology professor. And a professor at Harvard, Daniel Allen, who said that once their names were posted on this professor watch list, they got multiple anonymous threats. And critics have compared that to the tactics of Wisconsin Senator Joe McCarthy back in the 1950s when he went after suspected communists.
Do we have any indication that Turning Point USA will be active on the campus, that they will be putting on events, that they will be very much in front of students and take a role, higher profile role on campus?
Well, yeah, they've been active already, even though they're not even before they were a recognized organization, they were able to reserve space on campus and distribute their flyers and try to convince other people to join.
Turning Point USA got support from the Stevens Point College Republicans. Chairwoman Amelia Hoyp said the SGA was stifling student free speech by denying official status to the organization. Let's take a listen.
The First Amendment does not just end when a student enters a public university. All students should have a voice on campus, whether that's conservative, liberal, independent. We believe that all students should have the ability to voice their opinions on campus.
So Amelia should be pleased with this decision?
Well, yeah. As she says, the school did the right thing. And she stressed as a member of the College Republicans that she wasn't speaking in favor of Turning Point USA. She was speaking in favor of academic freedom. But she was specifically concerned because she felt that a conservative organization had been targeted.
Talking right now with WPR reporter Glenn Moberg. He's based in Wausau, and he's been covering the controversy at UW-Stevens Point about allowing Turning Point USA to be a sanctioned, full-fledged student organization. The decision came down Friday, a reversal of the Student Government Association's decision, and it will now be an actual sanctioned university group. Turning Point USA will be. You can join in this discussion, 800-642-1234. Are you a student at UW-Stevens Point? What about at another UW campus? How will this decision impact your campus? 800-642-1234. And Glenn, as we continue this conversation and as you watch developments at UW-Stevens Point, what are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I'm keeping an eye on the fact that the organization is represented right now by a group of attorneys. They've hired an organization, a First Amendment law firm, and their lead counsel, Tyson Langhofer, told me that the fact that they've overturned this one incident isn't enough for him. He wants the policy changed. He said the fact that there's a policy in place that allowed the Student Government Association to reject the request for recognition is unconstitutional. And he said his law firm would be talking about that with UW Stevens Point administrators. The name of the firm is Alliance Defending Freedom. So I'll be watching to see how all of that plays out, and I'll also be watching to see if there's continuing tension on campus between conservatives and the members of Turning Point USA and members of some of these minority and marginalized groups and the folks who support them.
Could there be litigation in the future over this?
Well, like I said, they hired an attorney. In fact, the people who are actually members of Turning Point USA have not been speaking to the media. They've been referring all questions that we have to their law firm.
That is WPI reporter Glenn Moberg. He's based in Wausau. We've been discussing the decision by UW Stevens Point administrators to allow Turning Point USA to be recognized as a student organization. That decision came down Friday. You can join in 800-642-1234. Does recognizing this group create the right environment for you to learn? Let's discuss right after this check of the news. Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk last month told Breitbart News that his organization is, quote, strong opponents of the safe space microaggression trigger warning culture that has been created on campuses. His comment came in response to a group of Turning Point USA activists at Kent State University who protested safe space culture by wearing diapers on campus. It caused a massive online backlash. We're discussing Turning Point USA and its recognition as an official student organization at UW Stevens Point. You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Have UW Stevens Point administrators made the right decision to overturn the student government's decision and allow Turning Point USA full recognition as a student organization? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Donald Downs to the discussion. He's a retired professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison. His areas of expertise include freedom of speech, academic freedom, political thought, and campus politics. Donald, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. You've been following the story of the student government's decision and the subsequent review by UW Stevens Point administrators. Is this a win for free speech on campus?
Well, I think it is, especially given the Supreme Court decision back in 2000 involving UW-Madison. That was a Southworth case. And the court held that students could be compelled to give to an organization on campus that oversees different student groups that have different points of view. It's a way of promoting student activism, student activity, and student freedom of speech on campus. But students can only be required to contribute to these other student groups through the student agency if the group that's funding engages in does not engage in viewpoint discrimination, which means that all groups have to be funded according to their they have to be funded without discrimination based on their points of view. And so I think the chancellor's hands are really tied here.
Do you think, though, that the student leaders were coming from a well-intentioned place of wanting to create a safer and more inclusive environment? What's wrong with that?
Right. Well, it's good to have a campus where all students feel welcome. And all students don't feel no students feel discriminated against. But here you're dealing simply with students that have different viewpoints on campus from the norm. These are conservative groups that are very much in favor of smaller government, critical of some of the climate on campus when it comes to free speech. And they're entitled to be funded as well as any other group. So in order to promote the welfare of students on campus, you have to find other means.
So you've written about this before, and you've said today's suppression differs from the previous era in three key respects. It's more passionate and aggressive. It's more student-initiated and driven, and it extends the reach of censorship more deeply into everyday campus life and the life of the mind. How does this apply to UW Stevens Point?
Well, if this particular group is not funded, based on their viewpoints, this would be an example, I think, of student groups that are promoting censorship on campus. So I think it does fit into that mold. What campuses need to do is find a balance between promoting a welcoming environment for all students, as well as tolerance for viewpoints that can sometimes be uncomfortable for students. And it is a difficult kind of balance to strike, but it has to be done.
Let's take a call now. Regina in Mequonago. Hi, Regina. Go ahead.
Hi. I agree that this group should be on campus. I think it should be on every campus in the entire United States because free speech is free speech. But I'm really concerned about how this discussion was framed to begin with, that this is a conservative organization and the other groups of people are marginalized minorities or marginalized groups like LGBTQ or, African-American organizations. And that's not the issue. That is not what's going on here. What's going on is that this group, once they get in place, target different professors and students on campus. It makes it very dangerous for them. And I do think this group belongs there, but what's going to happen is it's going to take and divert people's resources from things like learning to protecting people, because that's what needs to have happen. This is an organization that gets SIG fees. These are fees that every student must pay in regardless of what they think or believe, and I'm fine with that. It's like paying taxes. But when this happens, you must allow every student into each organization that receives SIG fees. What would mitigate this immediately is if every single student at UW-Stevens Point joins this group. And then inside, you can talk and see who's raising a ruckus, and you can follow them on campus and make sure your professors are safe, that your student coworkers, anybody that you're with,
okay, and
they're safe.
Regina, let's let Donald here respond to this. Go ahead,
yeah,
Donald.
Well, there are really two issues I think she raises. The first one is another Supreme Court case back in I guess it was 2012 or something. I forget the exact date around then. The Martinez case ruled that student groups may not discriminate when it comes to membership. So they have to; they can't discriminate on grounds of race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, things in that category, set of categories. And so if students that don't like Turning Point's perspectives want to join, they can join. They have to basically try to abide by the basic rules of that organization, but it is open membership can be allowed or required. The other point is that, so she's right about that. The other point is that if Turning Point is engaging in specific activities on particular campuses, and I have read about in one case where they've done that, in activities that do involve harassing or threatening other individuals on campus, then that's a violation of campus rules, and it might even be a violation of criminal law, depending on if it's a threat or not. So it's one thing to, and the caller agrees with this, that the group should be funded, but there might be particular activities that they engage in that would cross the line.
Such as, where would the professor watch list factor into that?
Yeah, well, it depends what that list is about. I mean, if the list is encouraging crimes or threatening activities against particular individuals, then that would cross the line, or it could certainly constitute harassment. If it simply names a professor or someone whose point of views they disagree with, and that professor's points of view should be known, as mine were in the quotation you made earlier about me, then that would be a First Amendment protected activity. So it really depends. The devil lies in the details. And if you cross the line, it becomes threatening or harassing, then you're violating either a rule or a law.
Regina, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Gino now in Superior. Hi, Gino.
Good morning. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple things. As I listen to this, and I'm just as an average guy, I'm 46 years old. I would say I'm probably conservative in some respects and liberal in others. And I think the universities are oftentimes a reflection of the current more adult setting in our culture, in our society, in this country. And it really is baffling to me that we would have a group that represents student organizations as to who comes and goes that doesn't understand what freedom of speech is. It's not a popularity contest. There are case laws, like your guest has mentioned, that are well established. And, the father, I have one of my three kids in college already, and I think when people are guarded about different viewpoints, and somehow to me it's perceived as they're not tolerant, they're not confident in their own views.
Yeah, and Donald, piggybacking off of what Gina was saying there, do students fail to really truly understand what free speech is?
Yeah, I think that's really true. There have been national studies on the decline of civic education and knowledge of basic civic facts like constitutional rights nationwide, and especially among young people. And so when you come to campus and you hear something that you don't like or you really strongly disagree with, you think, well, why should somebody be able to say this? Because you haven't had proper preparation to really understand and critically and duly appreciate the constitutional rights of free speech. So I think that really is a problem. I taught a large class on the First Amendment when I was teaching at Madison for 30 years. And it's amazing how students, once they have the basic knowledge of what the principles and law involving free speech are, they have a much more responsible perspective when it comes to these issues. They still might think somebody should be censored, but at least they have to come up with reasons why that's the case and why a line has been crossed. So I think the failure of education and priming students when they come to the university is a major concern. And right now, universities are starting to work on that ground because I think nationwide there's been recognition that there's a problem.
Gino, thanks so much for calling in. Donald, is the student climate on campus perhaps a reflection of the political climate in greater society? How do those two correlate?
Yeah, well, universities are part of America, and what happens in universities affects America and vice versa. And, you know, obviously, I mean, there's always been a relationship between the two. I think back in the 60s, with all the tumult when I was in college, and of course UW-Madison being a major focus for that, battles over free speech on campus reflected what was going on in society. And certainly since the 2016 election, you know, all the anxiety over what's happened politically, the polarization in society, the Trump administration's support by some groups that are really far out there on the right. Now, I'm not saying that's what the Trump administration's about, but some people that supported Trump are, you know, pretty far out there on the right, including people in the alt-right. Many, I think, are probably disappointed in Trump right now, and that's another question. So, yeah, of course, I think there's a major effect there. And also the idea that once someone like Trump got elected, there's certain groups on campuses we need to show resistance. And so anyone that represents a point of view that we consider too far out there on the right, we're not going to allow on our campus because we want to show resistance. So, yeah, all that stuff's going on.
Donald Downs is with us. He's a retired professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison. His areas of expertise include freedom of speech, academic freedom, and political thought. You can join in this discussion, 800-642-1234. What kinds of groups should universities sanction? Should they be partisan? Is it okay if they advocate for controversial issues? Do you believe speech rights include offensive speech? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Donald, let's dig in a little more to Turning Point USA, its activities as an organization, and why it's become such a flashpoint on campuses around the country. What is your take on this group?
Yeah, well, I don't know as much about it as people that have really studied it, but I think I've checked it out on its webpage and read some commentary on it. Its primary ideology is capitalism, and they want a smaller government. So they're opposed to too much government regulation, too much government intervention. That's just classical, kind of classical liberalism, you know, free market liberalism. So there's nothing about that we should make anybody concerned about their presence on campus. You know, they're anti-socialism, they're anti-communism, things like that. They have brought in people like Milos Yiannopoulos. I always get his name wrong, Yiannopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really controversial, and sometimes he crosses a line. He names individuals who are coming out in a transgendered sense or in other terms of sexual identity. And by naming them, he's made them sort of the targets, I think, of some online bullying and things like that. And that online bullying is a definite problem. I think that it violates university rules, and it can actually be a crime if it crosses a line. So, and, you know, just by bringing him in, he's a kind of guy that a lot of conservatives don't like having on campus because students identify him with conservatism. And, you know, conservatism has a very profound, long history. Some major thinkers, including some of our founding fathers, Edmund Burke and others, classical liberals with conservative views. Because of students' lack of education when it comes to political thought, which is another aspect of a problem with civic education in general, they tend to think, oh, that's what a conservative is. So I know a lot of conservatives that don't like him coming to campus. Now, granted, if a student group is properly recognized and it invites him, they have every right to do so. And the First Amendment principles apply when he shows up. He should be listened to and then criticized if you want to criticize him. But that doesn't mean it's a good idea to invite someone like him in the first place.
Let's go to Todd in Green Bay. Hi, Todd. Go ahead.
Good morning. There's a number of different things that we need to address, but one of them is defining a lot of what people are complaining about. In other words, you've got people that are now saying, they don't want to listen to hate speech, and they define anything that's a conservative thought or that's expressed as a conservative thought as hate speech. So you have these labels that are going around that are labeling any conservative speech as hate speech. And you have this happening on not just Stevens Point campus, believe me. It's a rampant problem across the nation. If you listen to anything other than mainstream media, if you tune in occasionally to a conservative radio program, you'll hear young Republicans calling in to say, hey, we can't get funding on our campus. Our campus newspapers get shredded. We're getting shouted down everywhere we go. Their point of view is just not welcome in these great institutions of free thinking.
And so what Todd's talking about here, labeling people in these broad strokes, how does that infringe on speech on campus?
Yeah, well, I'm glad the caller brought that up because I was going to talk about that if I had the chance. There has been an expansion of the notion of hate. And beyond that, an expansion of if someone says something that you consider offensive, and a lot of people consider really strong arguments against socialism to be offensive, that is not only a matter of hate, it's also an assault on them. So and some of these speakers have been seen as committing acts of violence simply for expressing their views. And once you start equating speech with violence, a lot of problems happen. One is that you're able to think that you legitimately censor it when you try to censor it because it's violence, not speech. And the other thing that can happen, it could even justify using violence against people that say things that you really don't like. So we have to be very careful about what is hate and, what is an illegal act, what is an act of violence. And I think the speaker's right that groups have expanded the notion of hate and even the notion of violence. No one argues that bullying online, targeting someone with a threat, threatening somebody's welfare is the same thing as free speech. The line is crossed when that happens. But when you say that, say the mere presence of Charles Murray, who was basically physically attacked at Middlebury a few months ago, to say that his mere presence on campus is an act of violence against us is to really undermine the possibility of having a diversity of viewpoints on campus.
Todd, thanks for that call. The founder of the conservative group Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, is on a college speaking tour earlier this month. On the tour, it's called Melting Snowflakes and Smashing Socialism. We're discussing the landscape of free speech. 800-642-1234. What kinds of groups should universities sanction? Let's discuss right after this news update. Turning Point USA is a national conservative organization aimed to, quote, identify, educate, train, and organize students to promote the principles of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and free markets. The national group, which says it has student chapters at more than 1,000 universities, is probably best known for its professor watch list. That's a website identifying professors who Turning Point claims, quote, advance leftist propaganda in the classroom. We're discussing its place at UW-Stevens Point. University administration reversed a student government decision Friday and officially established it as a student organization. Donald Downs is here discussing the organization and the climate for speech on campuses around the country. He's a retired professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. How does the current political climate affect your perspective? Does the national tone change the way you think about free speech here at home in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Caleb now in Milwaukee. Hi, Caleb.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
So I wanted to touch back on a comment you made just a couple minutes ago, that being the question of whether offensive speech should be allowed, just as a general question. And I think it's kind of a broad question. I don't think it's, for someone to say yes or no, we could mean vastly different things. If I were to say yes, some people could think I'm endorsing actual violent speech or obscene speech. If I say no, someone could think I'm saying we shouldn't have any freedom of speech. I think it's really important to delineate between, as the law professor was saying, there's a big difference between speech that someone finds offensive, because we all find certain things offensive.
Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. that's why, you know, the law, the categories in law are pretty specific. You know, if you use speech that directly threatens, makes a reasonable person would feel personally threatened in terms of their physical safety, then that crosses a line. And to use a category of offensiveness as the grounds for censorship is just, it can't be done. You think about how deeply offended certain religious groups were because of Darwin and the theory of evolution. For many of them, that upset their entire worldviews. It made them deeply unhappy and distressed. And yet, Darwin's work is among the most important scientific work ever. So offensiveness alone can just not be a reason for punishing speech. It has to be more specifically dangerous and harmful.
Caleb also brings to mind this University of Nebraska. An incident there between a graduate student and a Turning Point USA member sparked a controversy that cost some people their jobs. It forced the chancellor to enact some sweeping policy changes to address the situation. Among other things, the university president is now tasked with developing a plan to ensure that no political bias exists anywhere on campus. Is this possible? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the remedies for the speech problem are as bad as the problem in the first place. to eliminate political bias on campus, I mean, to have a political view, in a sense, is to be biased, right, against other views, just inherently. So I think that's a real problem. There have been some conservatives called for affirmative action in hiring in academic departments for conservatives. And on the one hand, that has a practical problem attached to it, that, you know, how do you know someone's conservative or not? I started thinking all of a sudden a lot of liberal job applicants will suddenly call themselves conservatives. And also just what if the best applicants happen not to be conservative? So I think that's a ridiculous policy. And this would be another example of that. It's like fighting fire with fire. Sometimes that's right, I guess, when it comes to forest fires. But generally speaking, it's not a good idea.
Caleb, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Brian in Madison. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Much to say here about this. As far as who to restrict on campus, I think it should just pertain to individuals who are inciting violence, who have been prone to instill fear in a particular set of society, and to go back to what I heard another caller say about how anything that a progressive, I'm paraphrasing here, but any conservative speaker is now hate speech, I find preposterous. If you could look at the Cap Times Ideas Festival, I thought that was an exquisite demonstration of different political patrons coming together to exchange ideas. And I don't think that this country is as divided as many like to think. I think the universities are a place for students and citizens to be challenged.
Brian, thanks so much. Donald, let's get your take here. We're not as divided as we think we are.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some studies that have shown that once you get below the level of political activists, a lot of people are pretty close to one another, sort of, you know, just left of center, right of center. That's an empirical question. Campuses, and I think even campuses, I do know, and I think that Turning Point is right about this, that a lot of conservative students do feel chilled on campus, and I hear that all the time. But it tends to be more the groups that individuals that are more politically partisan, belong to more activist organizations on campus, that often tend to be more a little less tolerant. I think the everyday students are willing to sort of cut slack with other people when it comes to political viewpoints. So there's something to that. And I think the caller's right that speakers that if they do directly incite imminent lawless action that's likely to occur, that's a Supreme Court standard, then that would cross the line. I've never heard of a campus speaker who came in and directly incited imminent lawless action, you know, telling people to go storm the dorm or to kill people. I haven't heard of that. But if that happened, then that would cross the line. So, yeah, I mean, the larger point is that we have to be careful about what we're saying. We have to be as precise as possible and distinguish between things like violence and speech, between something that's legitimately hate and not hate, and those forms of hate speech that should be protected and those forms that aren't. That means that we have to sort of think these things through and take each case on its own merits.
Last month, the UW Regents adopted a policy that punishes students who disrupt speeches and presentations either through suspension or expulsion. Can you bring us up to date on how this new policy is being rolled out?
Yeah, that's really a great question. It's still in the process of being rolled out, so there's not a lot that can be said about it. The policy, I mean, it's got its supporters and its detractors. No one has a right to disrupt a speaker on campus, who's there, who's speaking lawfully. The problem is whether or not the standard for disruption is the correct standard. The Supreme Court, back in 1968, in a famous case, said that if you substantially or materially disrupt, and this had to do with the wearing a back armband in school, that was controversial. And the court said if a wearing of a symbol in school materially disrupts the learning process, then that can cross a line in that particular context. So the law took that standard and applied it to speech in the public forum or speakers who were brought in to give addresses. And it can be too vague if it's badly applied. And I think it's going to depend on how universities apply that standard and how courts interpret it in application to speakers on campus. And if they do it right, then I think it does draw a line between protecting the rights of the speakers and protecting the rights of protesters. But we don't know if that's going to happen yet. The bill also requires orientation training on free speech on campus. And I would have definitely preferred that the university did that on their own. I know UW-Madison has started to do that even before this bill came about, because I think that kind of orientation, as we mentioned earlier in the conversation, is really important. So students will be better educated about the principles of free speech. But the legislature encouraged that, the regents adopted that. and I hope they do a good job of it.
And before our time is up, the Wisconsin legislature also waded into this issue this year, Assembly passing a Campus Free Speech Act, but it's not been going anywhere in the state Senate. What do you think about this bill?
Well, I think I would have preferred that we did it ourselves for reasons of institutional autonomy, and it would have been better for us to make it something that we developed on our own rather than being pressured into it by the legislature. When the legislature gets involved in those kinds of decision-making processes on campus, it can represent kind of, it can open the door to improper intervention from the outside. But we didn't move enough in that direction. As far as the prospects of the bill, from what I've been told by people I know that work over there, that the Senate is not all that disposed to passing it now that the regents have developed their own policy.
Mm.
So I'm not sure we're going to have a bill come out of there, but we do have a region policy.
As we wrap up here, what will you be watching for as the story at UW-Stevens Point unfolds?
Yeah, I think the chancellor's going to have to stick to his guns because of the Southworth case and the First Amendment law. What I'd be looking forward to see is how students react to that, and whether or not they're protests or things like that. And B, in a longer range sense, our campus is going to be able to get to a point where we properly balance the rights of free speech with the importance of having students feel welcome on campus.
And very,
but of course, welcome is also means being able to deal with different kinds of speech that you don't like.
And very quickly, we've learned that the group Turning Point USA at UW-Stevens Point is represented by a law firm. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm not surprised. Though, if the chancellor's decision sticks, then the case is moot. So there's nothing more to argue about in court. But I think there's a pretty clear constitutional right at stake here, so I'm not surprised that they've hired a law firm.
Well, Donald, thanks so much for taking the time.
Okay, well, thank you.
Donald Downs is a retired professor of political science and an affiliate professor of law and journalism at UW-Madison. His expertise is in freedom of speech, academic freedom, political thought, and campus politics. This hour, The Morning Show was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson provided technical direction. She's executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes your way on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening.